Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I'm flying solo again. Unfortunately, my co-host, Mr. J, has come down with a severe, I think the word is, because he said he didn't want me to advertise that he hurt himself in the vagina eating accident. So I don't know what I call it, like post vagina neck brokenness. I don't know. Anyway, 347-826-7435 is the call in number. Once again, that call in number is 347-826-7435. Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com is where you can email your questions, comments, and concerns, and jump in the chat room and say something. In the meantime, I say what's up to my main man, Taj Malik, holding it down in the Middle East. I see you, brother. How you doing? Happy birthday to Tupac, and happy belated birthday to Ice Cube. And looking like it's going to be a game seven after all. You know, I was skeptical when the series started. I was like, oh, 4-1, Golden State going to run through them. But I guess if you're going to be called a bitch, you'd be mad about it, averaging 41 points a game. I guess he's trying to say I'm not a bitch. I'm like, that's a response for your ass right there. 41 tonight. Like, yeah, if I'm a bitch, I'm dropping a bitch like 41 on you 2 games in a row. I guess we'll see game 7. Golden State's hurting too, because Iguodala's hurt. Don't know if he's gonna be ready. I don't know. It's up in the air. I guess we'll see. Although I will stand by my earlier prediction to Golden State. I can't see a team with J.R. Smith winning the title. It just I'm thinking like maybe this is the year that the world ends or something like that. I don't know. But I guess we gonna find out here Sunday night. Game 7 here in the, as they call it, the Roracle. Oh, man. Speaking of roaring, I would talk to Gabe, but I can't help but talk about Bobby Brown. I don't know if anybody's seen it. Bobby Brown was on 2020, and he was like, yeah, He said that he had sex with a ghost. He moved into a mansion in Georgia, and I woke up and I was being mounted by a ghost. Normally, you try to stay away from this kind of stuff, but because it's Bobby Brown, and you know he's the poster child for just say no to every drug that he's ever taken, because whatever he's done is why he is the way he is now. You don't even want to do it. And his brother's talking about having sex with ghosts now. I don't even know no more. He's as maybe he was anal, I don't know, but yeah. Anal ghost sex, whatever. If you having sex with ghosts, you probably should check yourself into rehab. That's That's all I got. But speaking of having sex, I don't know if anybody been keeping tally of the latest Prince lottery. That, you know, the Prince Hit My Mama lottery that everybody's trying to sign up for, since Prince didn't have no legal heirs. Both his parents is dead. Everybody and their mama is out here like, hey, I'm related. So, you know, of course, you got his one full sister, Tika Nelson, and I guess his half dozen known half siblings or their descendants. And there's a dude from the federal prison who claims he is a previously unknown son. Then there's a few more that jump out. That the three more half siblings, two of them claim two different fathers who also fathered Prince. And even though neither man is the actual known father of Prince, of course, they're claiming it. And then there's two more previously unknown children, one of whom claims to be his adopted son, to whom he left $7 million. The other one is a Connecticut woman who identifies herself as Taz Laney, whatever, Walker. Says she was born in St. Paul and adopted by a family friendly with Prince. Now, she's 43 years old. Prince was 57 when he died. So her story is, a friend of my adoptive father told me my mother had multiple sexual partners and Prince's name was mentioned. I inferred from these conversations that my mother had sex with Prince. I believe that I may be the daughter of Prince, because your mama was getting it in with Prince when he was 14. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the Prince lottery right there. You know, folks discussing sex partners. I guess that's one of the things that's going on right now in the Minnesota area. You're going to have like all the light-skinned people, and you'll like this, Malik, all the light-skinned people in the Minnesota area questioning their heritage and asking their mama, hey, are you sure this is my daddy? Did you go to a Prince show? Can we talk about your sex partners back in the day? Every light-skinned person in St. Paul, Minnesota, and in the Minnesota area is like, hey, you know what? I could be Prince's son. I could be Prince's daughter. It's like everybody's going to be talking to their mamas about their groupie status. It's just crazy. It's the funniest thing I've seen, because they just keep popping up over and over and over again. But hey, what can you say? Oh man, it just makes me laugh just thinking about it. I mean, that's how far we've fell, where folks, Your claim to fame now is trying to be the son of somebody famous that died so you can try to get a piece of money. It's like when you know your ass ain't even related, no parts of it whatsoever. I'll just go. It's as stated earlier, it was the birthday of the artist formerly known as Tupac Shakur. I mean, in the Bay Area, so he never really goes away here. But I think it's important that we talk about, because, you know, most folks talk about that Tupac toward the end there, you know, thug life. I mean, and I can honestly say that I never really cared for that thug life persona. I mean, it was there. I never really bought any of those albums. I've never cared for it. I mean, I was the hanging out on tour with Chuck D Tupac fan, strictly for my Tupac fan. So for me, it's a conflicted thing. I mean, I guess you say, I think he was a Gemini. So he was a typical Gemini, two people. You know, you had that one Tupac that was crazy wild. And then you had the conscious Tupac that did some of the most conscious records ever. And I think that part of his legacy gets, it gets talked about, but it's overshadowed by that other stuff. And I think some of that stuff should be delved into a little bit more and channeled. I mean, not that you need to channel it much here in the Bay Area, because he never dies here. You'll always be reminded of Tupac. And in the meantime, I definitely one of my favorite artists, one of the guys that I love listening to coming up, Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson. I mean, I think one of the most underrated MCs, actually, because nobody talks about the conscious records that Ice Cube put out. I mean, folks, once again, you'll talk about the records that, you know, against the East Coast. You talk about gangster rap, whatever. But I mean, if we go album for album, I don't think there's too many artists that could top him as far as consciousness. I mean, you say what, his first 3-4 albums, you probably couldn't get any harder than that. But once again, what the media focuses on. I mean, I had that problem in watching the NWA movie, because you're saying that they were the preeminent group of that era. And, you know, me and most cats who grew up in that era would say, no, that would be Public Enemy. I mean, that's Ice Cube's mentor. I mean, his first album basically came out from them. I mean, it's produced by the Bomb Squad. It's one of those classic albums that stay ever, forever. It's just a classic that no one talks about as a classic, actually. America's Most Wanted, to me, is still top five. I mean, we talk about this album, that album, and I'm saying that everywhere you go, that was the album that was being played. So, you know, back to back, a couple of my favorite rappers having birthdays. And I guess I'll just go into break here, because the song I want to play features both. This is Tupac and Ice Cube featuring Ice-T. Last Words.
Yeah, I got some last words.
Let's begin this song.
Like a fact, so keep your motherfucking joke, cause I'm that nigga with a fresh pair of lopes. Yo, yo, but they can't save me. Stop me, block me, cops wanna block me. Motherfucking big case, stop me. M-I-G, I got proof. Banged in my youth, keep niggas on the roof with a scope. Go, you keep the rope. Two pockets and a nigga up, it's a milestone. So what's up, boom? You want what I got? Step to me, wrong, fuck around and get shot. Your mom, crying, fuck up, bust up. Bitch, talk crazy to me, and I'm just up. Pop got the LP fat, track on hit. Laid by the motherfucking Bobcat. 93 something want me to go out, throw the hoe out. Bitch, motherfucker, I'm rich.
Chat room, my man Todd Malik talking about Dr. Dre, who's blind from diabetes, trying to call rappers to help. Rappers that he put on the map, by the way. No one's picking his call up. I can't say that that's a shock, because, you know, they probably can't help themselves, much less talk about helping him. And then at the end of the day, you talk about the nature of who they are. I mean, these are the same rappers who I recall being in the Public Enemy video, like 1,000 rappers in the Public Enemy video, and when the shit storm came down on Public Enemy, first thing they do, nobody had a word to say. It was the quote unquote gangster rappers, the dudes that most folks didn't even figure was conscious, the Ghetto Boys, Ice-T, the only rappers to step up and say they Public Enemy's name and stand up for them. You know, it's one of those things. You know who was down for you when the chips are down. I mean, it's one of those things. That's where you separate the folks that was like, well, I'm down with PE because they sell 3 million records and I want to sell 1 million records too, as opposed to in this Dr. Dre thing, when Yo MTV Raps was large and they was putting fools on the map, everybody was down. Oh man, we down with y'all. Now probably don't forgot his name, everything, you know. But hey, that is what it is and what it will always be. Crazy, crazy, craziness. But I think y'all know what time it is. It's my favorite time of the show. Before I get started all serious, I got to go into my dumb ass of the week. Always gotta get that last one in there. Anyway, my dumbass of the week is Bruce Akers. This dude called the police to accuse his neighbor of stealing alcohol. And then he killed him with a machete and buried his body under the pile of rotting deer carcasses. But the police, they used a cadaver dog to find the body on Acres property where he buried him. And he's charged with murder, and he entered no plea during his initial court appearance. And of course, the lawyers appointed to represent him had no comment, because how do you comment on it? You call the police on the guy that you decapitate and kill and bury on your property. Oh, now Mr. J would if he was here, he would say, yeah, we know that's a Caucasian, and I try not to play the racial politics, but yeah, you know. that's just one of those extra special retard moves that you can't even fight or argue. So shout out to Bruce Akers. At least he didn't come up with no stupid defense. He's like, yeah, I cut his head off and buried him in my yard and let it be. So we go from that to the hater of the week, which is a math teacher who had the good fortune of giving a racist math quiz about pimps and hoes and drug deals. So for all my teacher homies out there, it's crazy. This is out of Mobile, Alabama Middle School. This teacher, it's a 10-question math quiz, and it was given to 8th-grade students in a language arts class at Burns Middle School. The test basically included like questions like, Ramon has an AK-47 with a 30-round clip. He usually misses 6 out of every 10 shots, and he used 13 rounds per drive-by shooting. How many drive-by shootings can Ramon attempt before he has to steal enough ammunition to reload? Yeah. Oh, get better. Leroy has 2 ounces of cocaine. If he sells an 8-ball to Antonio for 320 and 2 grams to Juan for 85 per gram, what is the street value of the rest of his hold? Because, you know, your kids, especially in Alabama, need to know their math just in case they're going to do that drug deal or if they're going to do that drive-by with the AK-47 with the 30-round clip. And I'm like, wow. So in the brief statement, that was released Tuesday by the Mobile County Public School Superintendent Martha Peake. She said she regretted that the incident occurred during the last few days of school. Now, the funny thing is the identity of the teacher has not been released, and school officials did not, I guess, still have not responded to a request for comment. Now, and it took a parent that came to the principal today over the concerns that the exercise was given out in class. And it's like, so you can't tell us who this person is? Like, well, we don't want unnecessary publicity to come to these folks. It's like, come on. Come on. Oh, man. So shout out to the Alabama school district for protecting an ignorant ass woman who deserves all the bad stuff that can happen to her to happen to her. I hope nothing but bad things happen to her and for her. I move on to judges. Judge Scott Steiner won 56% of his vote against Karen Schatzel this Tuesday. He was reelected in a landslide. He won like 56% of the vote. This is the Superior Court judge who was censored in 2004 by the Commission on Judicial Performance for having sex with his intern and an attorney in his chambers. And apparently both were once law students of the judge. And they said engaging in sexual intercourse in the courthouse is the height of irresponsible and improper behavior by a judge. He was also criticized for attempting to help one of his sex partners get a job with the district attorney's office. It's like, yeah, and he was also reprimanded for not recusing himself from a case that involved a friend of his. So, when we talk about judges, and I think it's important that we talk about it. You see, when people talk about Brock Turner and how the judge helped him get free because, you know, hooked up with the family, whatnot, and how judges can change sentencing, this is where it starts, because I'm not talking about the sex. I mean, because, you know, the sexual partner is what he's doing. That could be an issue, but not the issue. We're talking about a guy who repeatedly did things to hook up his homies. So obviously, if he's doing things to hook up his homies and sex partners, whatnot, if that's where the sex comes in, it becomes important, then hey, anything's possible. And there are no boundaries as far as to what he would do in a case where someone could hold some leverage over him, because basically what we're talking about is no matter what he did wrong, he was voted in a landslide. And I would probably take a strong guess that the guy, I can't remember his name and it doesn't matter, who hooked up Brock Turner, the rapist, who coincidentally, supposedly he was sending out pictures of the girl after he raped her. Is he going to be recharged or charged with a different crime? Probably not, because I don't know what the charge would be for someone, you taking a picture of somebody. I mean, because if he got off with the rape, can they add on to a sentence? Does it go to a different judge and they add on to the sentence? They probably don't want to open up that can of worms, because if you open up that can of worms, then it sets a precedent where when you find out more information. But I'll take a guess that this was probably known before he was charged and it gets released later. So it's like, you want to say salt in the wound of the victim. Like, not only did he get off with a light sentence, but he didn't just rape you, but he sent pictures out to his homies of you, so they all can delight in the violation of the victim. So when we talk about crooked judges, this is why you can't have crooked judges, and why we should be very wary of lawmakers. I mean, see, I go back 20 years talking about lawmakers, we say, okay, you look at Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was vilified and impeached because he got his dick sucked. And we say, well, what about the laws that he enacted? I mean, his crime bill, the three strikes. You know how that goes. How many black people got caught up in that three strikes law? You bought some weed, you sold some weed, or you got caught smoking some weed, and some other minor offense, bam, three strikes, you got 20 years. Black folks love Clinton, and folks will defend him. Oh, well, he got his dick sucked. Yeah, that's nothing. But I say, what about the laws that he passed? The Federal Child Support Enforcement, which was expanded, along with the child support incentives. If you don't know what those child support incentives were, it basically was a situation where the states were giving money for going after those individuals who failed to pay child support. Now, in fairness, there are some folks who, weren't taking care of their kids. And they deserved some kind of fine. But once again, you start talking about failure or getting in arrears on child support was a strike. So if you got arrested for that, that's a strike. You get arrested for it again, that's another strike. And then three strikes, you're out. I mean, folks don't look at it like that. It could have happened like that. But we're talking about that Clinton's administrative strategy of encouraging, as he called it, parental responsibility and increasing their child support enforcement efforts. They doubled collection from $8 billion in 1992 to $16 billion in 1999. And this was Executive Order 12953. Now, when we talk about the incentives, the incentives were crazy because you're talking about you're sending folks out to and you're encouraging them to go after all the child support I'm thinking of the word here, the people who were negligent on their child support, and it was like debt collectors, and it was built on the prior legislative executive actions, and it was performance-based rewards for states on a range of child support. So when you talk about performance rewards, is like those people calling, and it was like a telemarketers, basically. You were rewarded for as much money that you got by state. I mean, so it creates a feeding frenzy. And as we know, there were a lot of fathers that were locked up, and a lot of families would be impoverished, where in some of those situations, if you would have had just simple mediation, and I'm not going to say all, but if you would have simple mediation, it probably would have mitigated a lot of what happened. And, the dude doesn't go to jail, and maybe he gets an understanding of what the family needs as far as his son goes and the woman, and you could talk it out, and maybe they can come together as a family, as opposed to what these child support incentives did, which was drove a lot of families apart. Some by their own making, but a lot of them, the child support system I mean, it was real dirty, and it did no favors to some struggling fathers who, quite frankly, couldn't pay some of the exorbitant fees that were set by the court. Once again, talk about the laws. The adoption of school uniforms. Now, you don't have, you know, the school uniform thing is dirty on the low, because, you know, they talk about, oh, well, school uniforms help make the school safe. It's like, yeah, uniform doesn't make school safe. Uniform is just clothes. It doesn't matter what you wear. If I'm going to beat you up, whether you got a uniform on or you got on whatever else, I'm going to beat you up. I mean, it wouldn't stop the games. I was like, if you want to, stop the violence in the schools and in the neighborhoods, whatnot, my thing was simple. You go head on and outlaw gangs. When I say outlaw gangs, I'm talking about outlaw KKK, White Citizens Council, Bloods and Crips, Gangster Disciples, all of them. If you're a group of people who get together and hate, you know, technically under the Constitution, you don't have the constitutional right to hate on anyone. Technically, we know, of course, it didn't apply to us. But my point is, if you wanted to enact the law, if you say, hey, if you're in the gang, we're going to arrest you, that shit goes away. And I'm talking about all the gangs. Like I said, KKK, White Citizens Council, those are gangs. Take their ass off the street. Let them be in jail fighting each other. You want to be about that bullshit? You be about that bullshit in jail together. Y'all can shank each other. Society probably be a tad bit better for it. Just a thought. But once again, another one of those things enacted by Clinton. I mean, and I say this because very well may be in office again. I know folks are like, well, it's Hillary. But yeah, like her and Bill never talked about anything. And when Bill wasn't out getting his dick sucked, allegedly, Hillary wasn't being involved in law writing. I mean, she was a lawyer. And I think that's who he probably went to for a lot of consultations, because she was pretty smart. But that's neither here nor there. But what I'm talking about is who was writing these laws, who were enacting these laws. These are laws that Bill Clinton / Hillary Clinton ended up enacting. Actual laws. So when I say, you talk about his legacy was, oh, well, he played the sax on TV, he never inhaled on that weed, and he got his dick sucked. That's what people remember him for, but they don't remember him for these messed up laws that he enacted. Eliminating the discriminatory tax treatment of the self-employed. Now, this is a tricky one. See, because it actually helps, you know, business owners. Like I'm a publisher. So it eliminated and increased the tax deduction from 30% to 80% for the, as they call it, the approximately 10 million Americans who were self-employed. And he phased it in the law provision to 100% in the Balanced Budget Act of 1997. So I could get 100% tax deduction if I'm self-employed, corporation, whatnot. Key point in that, as we know now, corporations are deemed persons. Now, people don't put the two together, but when you look at the circumstances of this bill, which was phased in 1997 in that Balanced Budget Act, where you can get 100% tax deduction of your expenses that go with the business. I mean, basically, as a working professional, everything I do, receipts, I mean, just dinners, whatever, under the guise of business, I write off. Now, for me, it helps, but think if you're a billionaire, multi-millionaire, how great is that that you can write off 100% of everything that you do? Kind of cool, huh? So, I mean, for me, as a thousandaire, it's invaluable, but for a millionaire, billionaire, you're not paying taxes because it was all done under your business. So, yeah, think about that for a second. That's what Bill Clinton brought to the table. And that's what politicians and judges bring to the table as far as laws go. So we can get caught up in talking about sex, which always happens. But look at what they enact. What they represent, really, when we talk about screwing you over. I mean, because if most folks knew, which is what they do now, that you won't pay attention to me screwing you over as far as laws go, you'll only care that, well, shit, he had somebody suck his dick. We gotta impeach you. I think they'll take that trade every time. Need a little revenge. In the meantime, because I'm real corny with my crossover segue. This is Tupac, Soldier's Revenge.
Mr. Shakur, can you please explain the meaning behind your violent lyrics?
Explain the meaning? Fuck you, you fuck. Please,
please! I can't breathe, My attitude is shit. My attitude is super niggas get they neck broke daily, trying to stay jail-free. What the fuck is way I'm going, young black girl, please tell me. That's the truth, that's the truth, the gang of niggas in the city. I'm black and I know I'm either, cause I gotta live and holler in the moment of life. I gotta die, I got it. Mama told me don't let me fade. Nigga, the way I make you crazy, game is what she gave me. Gotta watch your back strap, real niggas black back. If you get your ass back, bring your cat back. That's not the way we made it, that's just the way it is. Turn your box. I came up, my message to the citizens and committee. Who's the biggest gang of niggas in the city? Cops pull me over, take my face, but I'm legal. You couldn't get me bigger, fuck with a nigga's people. They got me trapped, cat with the motherfucking hammer back. Cops are my back, just cause I'm black. Now I'm guilty, message to the citizens and committee. Who's the biggest gang of niggas in the city? All you punk on me, swear, never fall beats. On the streets to the niggas, get a beat. Fuck them, they came to control. Niggas don't fold straight from the K-5 piece on the streets. So the niggas get a seat. Fuck for me. When I'm screaming, fuck them. K-5 piece on the streets. So the niggas get a seat. Fuck for me. I hear you screaming, fuck them. K-5 piece on the streets. So the niggas get a seat. Fuck for me. I hear you fuck them. K-5 piece on the streets. So the niggas get a seat. Fuck for me. I hear you fuck them. K-5 piece on the streets. So the niggas get a seat. Fuck for me. I hear you fuck them. K-5 piece on the streets. I hear you in the motherfucking street. It's four niggas and it's police. Then I hear you. One nigga shoots two niggas, shoots three niggas, shoots four niggas. I hear you. Four niggas. We can tell you shit. I hear you. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Tupac, Soldier's Revenge. Very important point of that song. That song was the follow-up and had the mix-in of the song that got him in trouble with the police, the same that Ice-T and Ice Cube got in trouble. Well, N.W.A. got in trouble for their song because it was just because we play what the people want, where he talked about they tried to pull me over and they laughed. Remember Rodney King as I blast on their punk ass. Tupac had a little problem too, which was the reason why they came after him and used that lady, C. Dolores Tucker. Like they always do, you'll send in that house Negro to take somebody down, and that's one of the reasons, you know, that they did everything they could to get Pac in jail, and ultimately, as me and many other people believe, had him killed. So, speaking of having people killed, Beyonce fans, they raised more than $80,000 for the Flint water crisis relief. There was a check that they presented, $82,234 to the United Way of Genesee County to support the residents of Flint, Michigan. And you know how I feel about giving your money to these organizations. Like, you don't need an organization. If you wanna do something, you put $82,234 into the hands of people who can fix that water system, or at least just $82,000 worth of water. All that other stuff, you know, organizations, overhead, how much is that of that $82,000 is actually going to see the light of day as far as the good people in Flint go? Probably not much. I mean, I commend them for giving the money, I guess. But at the same time, these organizations, government organizations, by the way, who are supposed to support the same government organizations who were killing the people in the first place, allegedly, not killing, they were just naive to the fact that they were killing the people. And to confirm it, there's an independent investigation by the Guardian, and it found that 33 cities in 17 U.S. states, including Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee, they're all systematically cheating on the test to monitor lead levels in the municipal water. 21 of those cities used the same cheating techniques that led to the criminal charges in the Flint water scandal. Law firm Hagens Berman has launched a class action suit against the city of Philadelphia over that same deception. And the Guardian investigation, the Guardian being a consumer group who investigates fraud throughout the United States, there's a long-running culture, as they described it, of scientific corruption in the water testing regimes in the American cities that use methods known to underestimate lead levels. Michigan and New Hampshire state governments advising cities to discard high lead test results and retest in an attempt to get more favorable results. So doing things like refusing to sample lead levels in high-risk houses because it posed a security risk and more. The city of Philadelphia was accused of having the worst water testing in the whole United States. what they did is they asked testers to pre-flush their pipes, remove aerators, and slowly pour water into a sample bottle. The EPA has warned that these kind of testing methods can mask the added contribution of lead at the tap. So, yeah. And there are some documents that show that authorities have also removed high-risk homes from testing or sought to obscure their dangerous lead levels. As we know, in Michigan, they would go to the suburbs, and they would bump, as they call it, they would bump out the ones from the inner city that had the higher additional levels of lead. And if it went bad, they would suggest at least 5 more samples. And this is in emails from an official at the from the Michigan Department who suggests that the high results should and could be retested. And this goes for the other 33 U.S. cities that use water testing cheats over the lead concerns. So, yeah, that's how much they care about you. The lead testing, I mean, we had a similar situation here in the Bay Area, actually, in San Francisco. And I remember speaking to a teacher, and she's like, yeah, why would you drink out of a water bottle? I mean, the tap here is some of the best in the world. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'm a filter guy. I've been a filter guy forever. So I filter my water on top of the quote-unquote tap that's supposed to be great here, because East Bay tap is supposed to be great. But testing and believing in officials who have no concern for you because they are not drinking out of 100-year-old pipes. And last time I checked, in inner cities everywhere, when we talk about upkeep and where your tax dollars go, like we talk about the lotto winnings and how the lotto was supposed to be for the schools, how the money is supposed to be, you know, going to the communities, whatnot. I have not seen massive tearing up of the ground to change the pipes. That's never talked about. They talk about testing different things, testing the electrical wires, whatnot. But you never hear of cities, municipalities checking out the water, checking out the pipes. You don't hear it, oh, we got to change these pipes out. They've been around forever. And when you start talking about older neighborhoods, what's underneath those old, rotted out steel pipes? And what comes through with rotted out steel pipes? That would be that lead poisoning. So I'd be a little skeptical. I mean, if you're not in a newer place and you can see what the pipes were, I mean, you were privy to it, you probably can't trust it, as Public Enemy used to famously say. As we know, there's no love for the common man when it comes to protecting their health, wealth, and everything else. I mean, we're talking about cats who just, they legislate against you, as I stated earlier in the show. So when you look at legislation, and a lot of what they talk about now, you know, I've seen some things where they were talking about drones and how drones are here to protect the cities, whatnot. But at the same time, they talk about hackers can knock the drones out of the sky, or even worse yet, hackers can take over the drones. It makes you wonder, like, but it doesn't make you wonder, because if you don't know by now, you'll never know. I mean, because we could say that the American government has never been for black people. They damn sure wouldn't be for anybody in the inner cities. I mean, as I've stated over and over again, on the low, we know they don't care for poor white people either. They have an elevated status, but they're above us by 5% in the elite eyes, maybe, because they can, like, look at them and say, well, maybe you could be me, but maybe they loathe them too. A little bit less than they loathe us, but they're loathing all the same. It's one of those things where folks wouldn't believe it, but I mean, that's the truth of the matter. Loathing of the poor is a common thing, and folks who don't believe in that, something's wrong with you. I mean, it was an Italian mayor who tried to sell his town to the Chinese. I don't know. If a dude can try to sell his town, what does that say about you as a citizen in the town? Kind of expendable. You don't really count. But hey, there's hope that one day people will figure it out and say, you know what? There's a animation name where they finally came together and said, you know what? We're not going to let y'all bully us anymore. It's 1,000 of us and 3 of y'all. Just a thought. On that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production, and I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.